From WCMU Public Media, you're listening to Between the Lakes. I'm Tina Sawyer. On this bonus episode of the podcast, WCMU's news director Rick Brewer appeared on the It's Just Politics podcast this week to break down the results of the primary elections for the open state Senate seat in the Saginaw Bay region. The outcome of the special election this May could have major consequences in the state legislature. Here's their conversation.
This is It's Just Politics. After waiting more than a year, residents in Bay City, Saginaw, and Midland are one step closer to having representation in the state Senate. The primary election for the state's 35th Senate district was yesterday. Rick Brewer is news director at WCMU. I caught up with him after he got a few hours of sleep covering the race.
Good to be with you, Zoe.
So, Rick, this district has been vacant since Congresswoman Kristen McDonald Rivett left the seat in January of 2025 for D.C. Tell us about the candidates who won last night who will go on into the general election to replace her.
That's right. On the Democratic ticket, Zoe, we've got Cedric Green. He's a retired sergeant major in the Marine Corps. He's a current Saginaw fire captain from Saginaw, a political newcomer. This is the first time he's ever sought any political office in his life. He garnered about 60% of the vote. Pamela Pugh, the current State Board of Education president, only garnered about 27% of the vote. She was considered the, quote, more progressive candidate. On the GOP ticket, we had Jason Tunney, also a political newcomer, never run for political office in his life as well. He's a former prosecuting attorney from Saginaw, born and raised in Saginaw, worked in his family's roofing company as well for many years. And he garnered about 51% of the GOP vote, defeating Christian Velasquez, a former Dow Corning executive. So Tunney comes out on top.
Remind us why this seat matters for the entire state.
Yeah, so currently the makeup in the state Senate is what everybody is talking about, because the Democrats only hold a 19-18 majority. So obviously that last seat is up for grabs, meaning if it's 19-19, the complete dynamics of Lansing could change, and it would make Lieutenant Governor Garland Gilchrist the tie-breaking vote on legislation. And as we've talked about on this show before, Zoe, just because a bill comes forth in our legislature that is all backed by Democrats doesn't mean that every single Democrat is going to necessarily back it, or vice versa on the GOP side. So it's going to make things a little bit tighter in Lansing if the GOP is able to equalize that chamber.
What do we know about turnout in each race, and what can that tell us about each party's enthusiasm right now?
So I know that numbers aren't the best thing for radio, so I'll do my best to kind of break this down into the most digestible chunks as possible. Looking at the numbers, for comparison, in Bay, Midland, and Saginaw counties, there was anywhere between 64 to 70% for the 2024 presidential race. So that's considered a pretty high turnout, right? 2024 presidential race, 64 to 70% roughly. We look at this special election primary, the only thing that is on the ballot, right? We had anywhere from 19 to 22% turnout. So obviously significantly lower. But if we look at each party and their total number of votes that were cast, the Democratic side, they had about 26,000 votes cast, with 97% of precincts reporting. On the GOP side, it was about 18,000, with 99% reporting. So again, the total vote count on the Democratic side was obviously much higher than the GOP, but I won't look too deeply into that because it's a primary. The general election obviously will be the decisive vote, and to see who can bring out their voters to the polls on, again, another special election, odd time that people typically aren't as tuned in as, say, Zoe Clark and Rick Brewer.
And that'll be the general election in May. But back to this primary, this was the first election of the year in Michigan. What can this primary race say about what's to come in Michigan elections in 2026?
Yeah, I think there was just a lot of fireworks for a small primary. As we've talked about, it's obviously high stakes, but there were just several instances where even Politico's journalists like myself, who covered the Iowa caucuses and have seen a lot of races, were kind of like, huh, wow. There were instances of PACs sending out mailers that the Michigan Democratic Party described as, quote, meddling in their races, trying to elevate Democratic candidate Pamela Pugh. There was also another PAC called Michigan Vindicated that the Pugh campaign accused of sending out, quote, racist mailers. We also had a probe into Cedric Green for using firefighting equipment in ads filed by both the Pew campaign as well as conservative groups saying that you can't use public resources in political ads. We saw a similar case of when Jocelyn Benson announced her run for governor inside of a Secretary of State building, right? So we have people closely watching every single move these campaigns are doing, you know, and filing grievances and complaints with the Secretary of State office. But perhaps the one that is the most troubling in terms of for our electoral process in Michigan was for the Jason Tunney campaign. They were hit with deepfake AI advertising for his campaign that were just completely fabricated lies about his campaign. It's currently being investigated by the Michigan State Police. So this is kind of maybe the first big test there with these deepfakes in elections, because as you likely know, Zoe, our state legislature passed that if you're using AI generated ads or deep fakes like this 90 days before an election, you can face some consequences. So when the Michigan State Police concludes their investigation into this instance, it'll be interesting to see if Dana Nessel and the Attorney General's office brings forth charges and what kind of teeth is behind that new law. So kind of the first test of this. And again, can't predict the future, obviously, but if we're seeing this now in a small primary for the 35th district, imagine when we have U.S. Senate, Attorney General, Governor up on the ballot this coming fall.
That is Rick Brewer, news director at WCMU, keeping an eye on the many stories coming out of the 35th Senate District primary here in Michigan. And Rick, of course, we will have you back in the months to come before the May general.
Thanks a lot, Zoe.
And that was WCMU's Rick Brewer on the It's Just Politics podcast from our friends down at Michigan Public. Thanks for tuning into this bonus episode of Between the Lakes. And don't forget to follow the show in your favorite podcast app. And if newsletters are your thing too, we've got a link to the Between the Lakes newsletter linked in the show notes. I'm Tina Sawyer. Thanks for listening.